Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay in that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/videolock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever, that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/videolock. eufyofficial.com/videolock. The live stream of the Eric Zane Show podcast is brought to you by F45 in Byron Center, Michigan. Those great folks over there, man. God, they've been through the ringer. The fact that it all started when they built their business, I remember it. It was I think February that I had a meeting with the folks at F45. They go, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, we're not worried about the pandemic. That might slow us down for a week or two. But no problem at all. And they've just rolled with it as issue after issue has popped up. But they still continue to do amazing things. So they're getting after it at F45 in Byron Center, Michigan. If you want to get in shape in a terrific environment, that is, I mean, seriously, you are just going to have great things happen to you if you commit to getting in shape. And this is all you, you know. I look at anybody who gets into any exercise program as, yeah, you're working with a group, but you did it, and you need to be proud of that. So get started at F45 in Byron Center. F is functional. 45 is how many minutes the workout is. 45 minutes, if you can manage, and you should manage, 45 minutes a day, you're going to be so much happier and so much better off. Sorry, this mic is messing me up bad. Sorry. Adjustments on the fly on the Eric Zane Show podcast from California. And you damn well should. You should absolutely take care of yourself because, you know, do it for the ones that love you. Get in better shape so that you can live longer. That's why my man Kenny is doing his part, walking up hills every day. Get in shape. I don't care how you do it, whether it's going out for a walk or it doesn't matter, working in the yard or going to F45 in Byron Center, Michigan. You need to exercise, okay? Thank you to my friends at F45 Byron Center. You can work out for a week for free. Just go to their website, f45training.com/Byron Center. Okay. Where am I here? So there's that. Also, you know, this is really strange because, like, in one breath, I'm talking to you about getting in shape, and in the next breath, I'm talking to you about smoking pot. Well, not necessarily smoking pot, but some of you do grow it. Hell, some of you work out and then you smoke. Did you see that deal with Mike Tyson? He goes, oh, yeah, I smoked a big fat joint before the fight. We'll talk about that a little later. But if you're growing cannabis indoors or growing anything at all, and that's totally your choice, you need to call upon my friends at Horizon Hydroponics for anything you need to have a successful indoor grow. That doesn't mean you're just an animal or an idiot or anything like that. I mean, some people like to smoke it. I don't. Not my thing. But if you do, you want to be successful at it. You don't want these awful, terrible-looking plants that are going to produce nothing but skank buds. Don't know if that's a term. Call upon Horizen Hydroponics, H-O-R-I-Z-E-N, hydroponics.com. Orders $250 and more, you get the shipping free. And then if you use the coupon code at checkout, Zane Show, you save 10%. Or you can do it in person at any one of their four locations, Grand Rapids on Alpine. Also the Growers Outlet in Byron Center, Michigan. Kalamazoo and Lansing. You're wondering why I'm looking all around here. I'm looking around for what I found. Where the hell is it? Oh, hold on. There it is. It's in the background. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Hold on. I got show and tell. I got show and tell for you. Okay. Where was I? One more time for Stella Fly. S as in Sam. T-E-L-L-A Fly. StellaFly.com. If you want to market your business with social media and you're like, okay, let's say you're Jimmy's Roadhouse, okay, and you want to announce no mask days or fuck Whitmer days at Jimmy's Roadhouse, and you want to get the word out. So Jimmy's Roadhouse would call Stellafly and say, hey, we're gonna light Whitmer in effigy on fire. We're gonna have a big Whitmer dummy made out of paper mache. We're gonna light it on fire in the parking lot of Jimmy's Roadhouse. Can you get the word out on Facebook? Well, she might hang up on you, but nevertheless, if you're a business that wants to get the word out via social media, you need to do it right. That's what Stellafly does. S is in Sam. T-E-L-L-A Fly.com. Okay, it is the, holy shit, the 30th of November. Let's start with this.
Why do you think this move makes your franchise better?
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions this and you guy. Just kind of like, you know, give me this. But I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay? So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for you. All right, what?
That guy. Holy crap. Patricia. What a dummy.
Hey, this is Blue State Ron, and you're listening to the Eric Zane Show podcast, a show hosted by a liberal Republican whose ancestry dates back to the small country of Armenia and fueled by bouts of anxiety and adult attention hyperactivity disorder, also known as ADHD. It's not the best, but still better than radio. Anyway, here's your host, Eric Zane.
All right, Rob, thank you, man. I appreciate that. That's right. Live stream of the Eric Zane Show podcast on Facebook. That's brought to you by Irvine's. Thank you for enjoying it live. Some of you get the recorded version late today, late during the next 2 weeks, but you all know why. No big deal. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids, Hybrid. Thank you for sponsoring the Facebook page, facebook.com/Eric Zane fan page. For a lot of you are getting this. Thank you very much. Please share. Hit the share button right now. Share the shit out of that thing so people can hear this message. I'm telling you, this is important. This is absolutely important. Always important. Blue Frost IT, if you could retweet this as you watch it, they bring you the Periscope video on Twitter. So hit the retweet button right now if you're watching on the Periscope video. That's brought to you by Blue Frost IT. And if you're on YouTube, thank you very much for that. Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button and the bell notifications for Eric Zane Show on YouTube. And thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. I'm on Instagram, Eric Zane Show, all one word. That's brought to you by the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Well, here we are. And when the show picks up, like, I've had to do this a few times, pack up all my stuff and take it to another location. It's always a weird vibe. I'm always like, God, you know, getting all of this from point A to point B, and this really isn't that much. It's pretty portable, frankly. But, you know, it just, I just oftentimes feel like there's something could go wrong or something could get haywire in the whole deal or go haywire. So, that was not the case. It's all been pretty damn smooth. So I'm pretty stoked so far. And that getting out of the comfort zone, it's almost like my old pal Katie Carpenter, who taught me just about everything I needed to know about triathlon back in the day, which I'm thinking about getting back into again. Seriously, I'm thinking about full on out of retirement. Everything, just diving right back into that. And, that would be fantastic. It just starting to think about it. After watching Mike Tyson over the weekend, I'm like, hell, if that old ass guy can do it, I can do it. She had always stressed to me, you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that is the, in my opinion, the number one thing about any type of in that realm, and I've kind of transitioned that from like training and freaking triathlon to this. I mean, you have to wrap your mind around doing something different and it being uncomfortable, because when you are suddenly working in one spot and then you got to pick everything up and you're going to move all the way across the country and do this shit from somewhere else. Well, fuck it. You can do it. You've done it before. No big deal. So I almost have to pep myself up for that. Give myself a pep talk. And then, oh, by the way, there's the idea about, what's happening Wednesday with donating the kidney and this whole element to it. More on that in a second. I don't want to just dive into that right away. But I have so much to talk about. I actually love being here. I had a great amount of success doing the show when I was here in August. It just seemed like there was so much to talk about and so much to focus on. And basically, that's all I've done for the past 2 years is the show, as I describe it, discussing news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. But the personal adventures things are the things that I love to talk about the most. And that's what kind of fuels what I've done forever. Honestly, anybody can sit there and park on the news. And when I do talk about the news, I'm trying to provide an angle of it or maybe my own opinion about it. And that sometimes gets me in the weeds. Hell, I got the shit beat out of me about the Jimmy's Roadhouse thing. And Irene emailed me, and she went kind of off on me. And this is a big time supporter of my show. And she said, we don't like to be called hill jacks and stupid and all that. And I was like, well, you know what? Fuck it, Irene. I call it like I see it. I find the behavior reprehensible. Well, it's all. And then she starts using all the buzzwords like freedom and Liberty Bell and Minutemen and revolution and declaration and constitution and the Minutemen and the redcoats and all that horse shit. And I'm like, we don't agree on this. But yet she still 100% is kind and supports me. But she just, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I just don't see it that way. I cannot sit here and give you even an inch on this. But I'm already rambling. This is what I got up and grabbed, and this is it was on the floor here in the hotel room in Los Angeles. It is I'll hold it up to the screen so y'all can see it. This is a joint in here, I guess. And boy, does it stink. I've smoked cigarettes a time or two here and there, and that's a nasty, dirty habit. But, you know, I could never get hooked, like, to an intense level where I'm sitting there smoking nonstop because of the smell. It's just gross. This is like 1,000 times more gross to me because I opened this joint up. And the person who had it was, I don't know, boy or girl, who knows, had smoked about half of it. And there's a lot left. There is a lot of pot in here. And so right away, people are like, hey, yeah, you should do it. You should smoke. It's freaking sickening, man. It is gross. It's going in the garbage. But yeah, it was. I knew exactly what it was when I saw it on the ground. It was right behind the refrigerator here. Tarantula ganja gold. There's a looks to be a price tag on it. It says 30. So I'm guessing whatever, $30 for this thing. And it actually has it says Indica King Louis. Don't know what any of these words mean. It says gold all over it. Giant gold. And then there's all sorts of THC levels. 230 milligrams of THC. And then I can't, my vision is too poor. I can't make out exactly what is all in this thing. But yeah, unbelievable. Welcome to the party. Okay, so plenty to talk about on the Great Kidney Giveaway 2020. The Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight went down. And yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts on this. Snoop Dogg steals the show in this. He was, speaking of smoking pot, I mean, my God, that's like a way of life for that guy and for Mike Tyson too. But he was like the ringside announcer or the commentator on the pay-per-view and just hilarious. Everybody loved Snoop. Up until this weekend, I had no idea who Jake Paul was. I kept thinking Logan Paul. Is Logan Paul the one who's on Breaking Bad? I don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I know I didn't know who Jake Paul was. I'm out of the demo, as they say. Jake Paul produces online content. Like this, with 90 million times the audience. And, I mean, this guy he's a money-making machine. And I think what you have here is I actually respect him for this because, with all of what he's built in his online platform, I mean, he is really, really wealthy. He, then put all of his effort into becoming a boxer. And this is kind of cool because he has spared no expense with the amount of time that he's put into it. And he has trained so much that he's actually really skilled for the most part. As far as young boxers just getting into the game go, the amount of effort he's putting into it is showing up, and the guy knows what the hell he's doing. He was fighting some former NBA player, and I don't know why it was him, Nate Robertson or something like that. And he's in his 30s, former NBA guy, and one of these basketball guys who thinks that he can just go and just start fighting because he played another sport at one time that really has nothing to do with basketball. Well, it's like, who couldn't see this coming? This guy, Nate What's-His-Face, getting his ass kicked. Because if you've ever seen a basketball fight, all you see is knees and elbows and windmill punches. It looks like a huge bitch fest, and it's awful. There are no NBA players who know how to fight. They all fight like bitches. And, well, this guy got the shit kicked out of him. It was, like, brutal. That was a devastating ass-kicking. Jake Paul kicks the shit out of this guy. But in the post-fight presser, all you have to do is listen for 1 minute to realize that Jake Paul is one of the biggest, most arrogant douchebags you're ever going to hear from in your entire life. Matt Patricia fired out as coach of the Detroit Lions. Oh, my gosh. Along with GM Bob Quinn. Now, I had kind of forgotten the storylines over the years that this guy was the coach. But I had heard that Darius Slay, who was an all-pro cornerback for the Lions or safety or whatever the hell he was, that those two did not get along at all. And then there was some comments after Slay left, but that's about all I heard of it. So I don't know shit, but something did happen upon Patricia getting fired that you never see, and that is players rejoicing and coming out of the woodwork and saying, oh, thank God. You never, ever see it like this. Usually it's just everybody keeps their mouth shut because you never know if you're going to wind up being with this coach again at some time in the future. Could make life difficult for you. You probably don't want to burn that bridge. Nobody gave a fuck, and they burned all the bridges. And Patricia, I doubt this guy will ever be a head coach again, which wouldn't surprise me because Lions coaches, when they become former coaches, never seem to coach again. In fact, I really don't know of one. Maybe Jim Schwartz was a head coach again. I don't even know if he was. I think he might have just been a defensive coordinator. For the most part, when coaches leave the Lions, that's it. End of the line. So as long as you've been following me, I've been bitching about the Lions just like everybody else has. Unbelievable dumpster fire. My thoughts on that coming up. Okay. There was a lot going on this past weekend, and so it was kind of like pick your story that you could park on. And one of the ones that I'm parking on is this this young lady kicking in a football game for Vanderbilt University. Her name is Sarah Fuller, okay? And right on cue, the world starts acting like this is when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. My gosh. I have plenty of thoughts on this. Also, the story of Sarah Fuller kicking, unfortunately, brings out the worst in guys, men, who talk shit about her. And it's like, you fucking assholes. This is why that people make such a big deal about shit, because these knuckle-dragging cavemen behave like such assholes. It really sickens me. Got to talk about that. I know it's a lot of sports talk, but still, I have thoughts. The quarterback for the University of Syracuse University, feels like the biggest a-hole in the history of college football after a blunder. I got to get into that as well. All right. But first, here we are in beautiful, sunny California. It is, as of this recording, 1:30 right now. Just as a footnote, or a show note, if you will, today was late because I was off. I had to go get a COVID test, and so I couldn't get started earlier. You will still get the show late from now until the 11th of December when we are... that'll be the last day we are here, and then leaving on Saturday because I'll be starting the show at 8, but 8 o'clock California time. So if you enjoy getting the show live on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, it will be starting at 11-ish. That was even late today. You know, I'm always like, you know what? Yes, it's late, but how often have you gone to a concert and it says that the main act is going to be on stage at 8 and then it's freaking 8:15, you know? No, I actually try to be on time, but too often I'm in here putting the last finishing touches on the show and it's 1 minute before showtime. Like, oh God, I'm not going to make it. So as always, I apologize, perpetually late and always trying to be on time. So that's why today is the way it is. So that happened, and then you get the show late today, and then tomorrow you will get it at 11 a.m. Michigan time or Eastern time on the live stream, and then posted shortly thereafter. Okay, let me first of all tell you about this, because we ended last week with me not having informed my father yet about all of this, and this to me was it was really weighing on my mind. Because of the kidney donation, my dad has been he's really struggled with it. And, but yeah, he did awesome. I spoke with him on Saturday and You know, I just said, hey, Dad, you know, I didn't want to tell you after I had left. And one of you had said to me on the live stream, I saw you say, no, you got to tell them actually before you physically leave the state. That's very, very important. So I agreed. And so we went after it, got it done. He did great. He spoke to my brother, Jim, who I believe helped him and encouraged him about, hey, you know, just be supportive. It's going to be all right. And I think he's reluctantly doing that. I mean, he, of course, being supportive, he would always be supportive, but he seemed a little bit more at ease with it. And so did Joanne, you know, and I, as I've detailed with you, it in his dementia, it manifests in these bouts of anxiety and things like that. So, but, you know, just if you could just be thinking about him, that'd be awesome. I cannot stress enough the outpouring of all the things that you guys have said and done, just, you know, dropping me a note, either a comment on Facebook or an email or sharing the story is, man, it really is fantastic. And I think that we're onto something here. I really do. This is not just a one and done deal. I mean, I'm not going to give away any more kidneys or anything like that. Might give away a lung maybe one day. No, probably not. But I really want to look towards advocacy as we also work towards thinking about Jeffrey with his recovery. Advocacy and Jeffrey's recovery. And I think a lot of that comes with just talking about it here. Expressing it in the book, which we are going forward with that. The book will be here before you know it. And then that's it, man. Just take it as it comes. I talk to, seems like every person I talk to here in California, I've had two or three Uber drivers, and they all say, so what brings you to California? And I said, well, you're not going to believe this. I'm giving away a kidney to someone on Wednesday. And they look at me in the rearview mirror, and they're always like, what? And that's what I'm talking about is I want to, over time, make it so that that's not so surprising to people. Because when you say that, people are so, oh, my God, that type of vibe, that builds up the making this a bigger deal, I think, than it needs to be. Yes, it's a big deal for the recipient, and it should be. I think that if we continuously remind people that, this process is not that big of a deal. You've gone all the way through this with me, and yes, we still do have the surgery, and sure, that's going to be a little bit uncomfortable for a period of time, but I'm here to destigmatize the entire process because, frankly, leading up to this moment in time, I was warned ahead of time, Eric, this is a long, hard process. I don't feel like it was long and hard at all. And I know long and hard. I mean, tell me. I love long and hard. Everybody knows that. So does Diana. We're both big fans of long and hard. And we know it when we see it. All right, that's stupid. But outside of, you know, just giving some blood here for various tests and things like that, and then you come out here for a trip, and I'm kind of doing it the hard way, you know, because there's a pandemic going on, and I have to travel all the way across the country. For other people, it's not like, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. So anyway, that's enough about that. This podcast centers me, and it's helping me because when you're in the mindset that I'm in right now, you, at least for me, and I tend to do this, I tend to worry about things further down the road, 10 steps ahead of me. And I forgot, it was one of you awesome friends / listeners who suggested to me in dealing with anxiety that it is very important. One of you suffer it just like me. That if you focus on only the one thing that you are doing in the moment, focus on that and don't focus on anything other than that while you're working through. And it could be anything. It could be something that's very stressful, but you're in the moment. If you focus on that and then worry about the next thing when you get to it, that's coping. And that's what I'm doing right now because here we are Monday. And I'm sitting right now waiting to hear the results of this COVID test. And it should be good news. I at least I anticipate that. That would mess this whole thing up if it was bad news. But, you know, and then focusing on what's going on right now. And then when we do get to surgery time, I'm just going to shut my mouth. I'm going to walk 1/2 mile over to the facility, actually 0.07 miles. Okay. Whatever 7/10 is. 7/10 of a mile over to the surgery center alone with a backpack and my gear. And I'm going to say, hey, I'm ready to get operated on. And that's my day Wednesday. I don't even know what time it is. They'll let me know sometime very soon. And that's how it's going to go. Keep your eyes posted. Diana will be posting updates, things like that. And as soon as I come off of sedation, I will too. And then that's it. Recover. Stay here in California. Do the podcast all the rest of next week. I won't be podcasting on Wednesday, as far as I know. I guess if the surgery's late in the afternoon, I could, but I probably won't. More than likely, no podcast Wednesday, no podcast Thursday, no podcast Friday. Podcasting on Monday. But you never know. I guess it all depends. Maybe some fun Facebook Lives under sedation. All right. When it comes to getting here, it was no big deal. Grand Rapids was dead. There was no one there. I did notice that it seems like there's more dogs traveling these days than there are actual people. It seems like everyone has a dog with them. Flew to Minneapolis. And then from there, got onto the biggest airplane I've ever been on in my entire life. It was so big that we sat in what's called comfort class. I didn't pay for it. Someone else paid for it. Jeffrey did. There's first class, and then there's comfort class right behind them. And I can look into the cockpit. This plane is so big that when you walk up towards, there's like two doors to get into the damn thing. When you walk up to get off of it, we went out the front door. The cockpit is like down. You have to take like steps down to get to it. Biggest plane I've ever been on in my entire life. I was like, there's no way this thing's getting off the ground. Finished up the first season of Ozark. That was eventful. Now I only have one whole season to catch up. And then landed here. Got here about about 7:15 California time. And then set up here, crashed, off we go. Headed over to the grocery store today. No big deal. Uber. Oh, when I was getting there, when you're in LA at the airport and coming here, you have to get to the Uber lot. To get to the Uber lot, there's a shuttle bus that you have to get on. Now, the suitcases we have are almost too heavy to travel. You can't have anything more than 50 pounds or you have to take shit out. We weighed our suitcases in Grand Rapids. One suitcase was 49, the other one was 48 pounds. So they're super heavy, loaded with all this podcast equipment. I'm so weak getting on this bus that I couldn't quite get it up the step, and that caused me to trip, and I actually fell onto the driver of the bus. And it's like, oh, God, and this dude's like, what the fuck? What are you doing? Oh, shit. Today, on the way to the clinic to get the COVID test, I ran into Mark the Scientologist. And I know that because I have a tendency to get into these deep conversations with these Uber drivers. Hell, the one guy, Raul, last time I was here in August, him and I hit it off so well that he joined on Patreon by the time I got up to the room. So I'm talking with Mark the Scientologist, and the conversation, he asked that question. First of all, he starts out, he goes, I go, so how's your day, Mark? And he goes, you know, it's going. I can tell he wasn't having a good day. And I found out that his mom just got rushed to the freaking emergency room. She lives in Maryland. So prayers for Mark's mom. I promised him I would keep her in my thoughts and prayers. And then so he says, what brings you to L.A.? And I go, well, you're not going to believe this, man. I'm giving away a kidney on Wednesday. He's like, what? Are you, what, huh? I go, yeah. And so we get into it a little bit, and he's just like, people love the story, okay? And they're all like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. I go, ah, yeah, you can. I go, it's not nearly as big of a deal as your mind might trigger. And he starts asking questions. Well, how do they do it? How does this happen? How do you get to be a match? What if you're not a match? What happens if you need a kidney? These are all great questions that people ask me all the time. And so we're talking about that. And somehow we got on a spirituality. And I'm like, yeah, well, this is how it went for me. And this is how I feel. This is how I feel about how it went. He goes, yeah, you know what? I'm a Scientologist. I'm like, oh, great. Here we go. So it's the Roman Catholic and the Scientologist are meeting. And the dude was, he was great. I really enjoyed the conversation with him. And so I wanted to ask him questions. I was like, well, so what about like the documentary Going Clear? You know, that's that documentary from all these ex-Scientology guys who try to bring you guys down. How do you feel about that? You know, but it was all good. Nice guy. Hopefully he'll check out the show. I encouraged him to do so. The one guy, Jose, who we had from the airport to the hotel, he didn't even know what a podcast was. Like, oh my God, how can you be on the Uber app? I go, do you listen to podcasts? He goes, what? I go, do you listen to podcasts? He goes, I don't know what that is. What is podcast? I go, oh my God, how can you not know that? But it was all good. It was fine. All right. So there you go. That's where we are right now. A day and a half away from the big moment. And yeah, I'm just trying to stay focused on this right now. I appreciate you and all the thoughts and prayers that you're bringing forth. I appreciate it very, very much. If you do want to reach out, eric@ericzaneshow.com, you know I love it. Makes me feel oh so good knowing that you care. Thank you. And the open of this podcast from beautiful sunny California comes to you this time around from TC Paintball. Home of the stolen trailer. Ah, why did you have to bring that up? Anybody found Rick's trailer yet? If you see a blue trailer, double axle blue trailer, a flatbed trailer, it's Rick's, for God's sake. It's some thief stole it. They may have painted it by this time. Book a party with TC Paintball online at tcpaintballgr.com. And get ready for some fun, man. And, you know, frankly, all you need is yourself. You rent the guns. You know for the price that you pay to get on the field, you actually get the gun, you get the paint, you get the mask, you get the field time. They're going to host you. They're going to tell you how to play. And I'm telling you, it is awesome. Outdoors, indoors, they've got you covered at TC Paintball in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Online at tcpaintballgr.com. Thanks again to Joe Martinez from A&E Heating and Cooling. Call Joe at 616-516-8579. You can get the furnace tuned up for $79. You should probably have that already done. If you haven't done it, you can still do it. $79 is all it's going to set you back to get that furnace system tuned up. It should be looked at yearly. There's no getting around this, because the last thing you want is, you know, on a night that it's super, super cold, all of a sudden your home is 48 degrees. And your wife is there tapping her foot like, what the hell happened? Why didn't you do what Zane told you to do and call that guy Joe Martinez? And you can still call him. But as I've said before, on a late after-hours service call, you are getting bent over the pinata. And that's going to be fun, no doubt. If you go with a brand new furnace install, he utilizes the Comfort Maker brands of furnaces and air conditioners. 616-516-8579. So here we go with this big Mike Tyson fight, which I don't know. I just really couldn't get into the whole Tyson fight the way they did it, with it being just an exhibition. But I guess you got to start somewhere. Tyson looks really, really great. And both fighters actually were pretty damn sharp for being their age. 54 for Mike Tyson, 51 for Roy Jones Jr., who hasn't fought in about 3 years. Tyson hasn't fought in about 15 or 16, as he says in one of these clips. But, I mean, my God, still, I don't know if it was because it was so far removed from the game, but Tyson, I didn't realize, had to lose 100 pounds here to make this happen. I had no idea he was in that, he gained that much weight, but he looks like he's about 26 years old again. fast as hell, strong, Roy Jones Jr., and then the fight ended up in a draw. Here you go.
It's a draw. Mr. Tyson, what do you think of that?
I'm good with that.
You think you won the fight?
Yeah, but I'm good with a draw.
Why?
Because I entertained the crowd. The crowd was happy with it.
Right, we'll be back to you in a second. You happy with this draw?
Hell no. I ain't never said if I would a draw. I wear draws.
All right. Now Roy Jones Jr., I don't speak boxing. He sounds a little bit more screwed up than Iron Mike. It's pretty crazy to think that you can have someone speaking at the same time that Tyson is, and Tyson is the more eloquent of the two. My God, who knew?
We'll be back to you in a second. You happy with this draw?
Hell no. I ain't never said if I would a draw. I wear draws. What? I don't do draws. What? I like it. For me, I thought I did enough boxing on the outside to edge it out, but, you know, I'm cool with a draw. I mean, we just might have to try to do it again.
Wow. I loved you in the movie Airplane. Come on. That's great. Old school. Old people get that reference. Adam up north. He knows that joke. Holy shit, slap him, jack him, Barbara Billingsley, awesome. Tyson revealed this, smoked a joint before the fight.
Have you already had a joint?
Yeah, absolutely, coming down, yeah. Well, listen.
They had to, it was weird with the audio, that Zoom press conference sounds crazy.
I can't stop smoking. I smoked during fights. I just have to smoke. I'm sorry, I'm a smoker.
Did you have any marijuana leading up to the training of this fight?
I smoke every day. I never stop smoking.
Did you have one right before the fight?
Absolutely, yes.
How does the marijuana effect help you into the fight?
It's just who I am. It has no effect on me from a negative standpoint. It's just what I do and who I am and how I'm going to die. There's no explanation. There's no beginning. There's no end.
Did it help numb the pain a little bit?
It just numbs me. It doesn't numb the pain.
Wow. All right. I don't know how that is. I am not the guy to sit there and judge anybody because they smoke pot, but I don't know how that helps you in any way, shape, or form. First of all, the whole business of inhaling smoke deeply into your lungs, isn't like when you smoke a cigarette, you might take a drag off a cigarette in and out. It's only actually in your lungs for that amount of time. You're smoking a joint, you take a big ass deep hit, and then you're holding it in there for a long time. That does damage to your lungs. But all right, the whole idea of what is he not getting stoned? Maybe he smokes so much that he I don't know. I won't. It just seems very unhealthy to me that people who are athletes getting stoned all the damn time. I don't see how that helps your performance. Whenever I frickin' Joe Rogan. Rogan spends considerable amount of time talking about health and what's good for you, and then, you know, smokes tons of pot. And if I ever had the opportunity to interview him again, I would say, excuse me, take me through that, because is that just something you look at as a vice and that's just the way it is? Or do you honestly believe that this is good for you in some way? I mean, take me through that. But that fight ends in a draw. So that part of it is kind of dumb. Tyson says he wants to fight again, another exhibition. I don't know, man. Just go and join the ranks of the heavyweights. See if you can do it that way. There's got to be something burning in you to actually do fights. I mean, real fights instead of these frickin' sideshows. All right. Snoop, this was great. This is the moment that really got everybody laughing when Snoop Dogg ringside talked about this. While these two old men slugged it out.
Tyson all over Roy Jones Jr. Snoop.
Like two of my uncles fighting at the barbecue. get your uncle out of there. Get him out. You go meet me in the backyard. I'm tired of this. Meet me back here, huh? Boy, look at my uncles. Look at him. Look at my uncles out there fighting in the backyard.
Two of my uncles fighting at the barbecue? Oh, God, that is... Did you hear that big laugh, too?
Tyson all over Roy Jones Jr. Snoop.
Like two of my uncles fighting at the barbecue. get your uncle out of there. Get him out. You go meet me in the backyard. I'm tired of this. Meet me back here, huh? Boy, look at my uncles. Look at him. Look at my uncles out there fighting in the backyard.
That's awesome. They also were interviewing Roy Jones Jr. and Tyson afterwards. And they one of the things they brought up to Roy Jones Jr. about, hey, you could have gotten hurt. Tyson heard that and said, well, hey, what about me?
A lot of people were afraid, Roy, you might get hurt tonight. Were you really afraid in the back of your head that something could happen that, might have put you in peril?
I was afraid I might get hurt. I didn't fight in 20 years. He only stopped fighting for 3 years. I'm afraid I might get hurt. Why nobody care about my
Well, that's typical, right?
He didn't fight in 15 years. He stopped fighting 3 years ago, and everybody worrying about his
Nobody thinks that a giant is going to fall.
I haven't did this in 15, 16 years. I'm not a giant. I'm a beginner.
Okay. So, yeah, gracious. I like Tyson. I actually watched his full press conference. The guy is humble. And I think that's I think that just kind of came with age. Tyson's been through a lot over the years. But, all right. Then there was this this undercard fight between Jake Paul and this Nate. I'm fucking that up. Nate Robinson is his name, the basketball player, former basketball player. Who has no business doing this boxing match because Jake Paul is quite a bit younger than him. But that isn't really the reason why. It's just that Paul has spent a considerable amount of time and effort and money and actually becoming a fighter. So he gets his ass kicked here. This is the moment that he got hammered with two big punches, I think two knockdowns here. This is the audio that accompanies it as Snoop starts singing hymns after Nate Robinson gets knocked down.
Oh, there's a feint from Jake. Ooh.
Mm, caught him.
Snoop, talk about dropping it like it's hot,
baby. Oh, Nate,
holy God, up.
Lead me on. Let me stand.
Wow, nothing funny about what's happening with Nate Robinson.
All right, so he goes down, and then they kind of get him back up and give him a standing count or whatever, and then they get back after it, and Jake Paul beats the shit out of him some more.
But Snoop Dogg is singing the hymns. He's trying
good
to get
out of
Mamma Mia, the problem child proving to be a big problem for Nate Robinson.
My goodness.
And of course,
call the ambulance, pick up your people.
We need definite medical attention for Nate Robinson. And again, Snoop,
we'll be back.
This is why you don't play boxing, brother. Nah. It's the hurt business. And Robinson could be hurt.
Who is this lead guy? This lead guy sounds like a jackass. Total puker there. Wow. So there you go. Show stolen by one Snoop. And this guy, Jake Paul, is a good fighter of that level. You know, now he's saying he wants to fight Conor McGregor. Now, that's definitely, I'm sure, a different ballpark. You're going to fight a skilled fighter as opposed to a fucking sideshow in this Nate Robinson. But all right, we'll see. Here's where it gets weird. Just as I was like, well, this Jake Paul guy, he actually knows what the hell he's doing. That's cool that he has taught him, worked hard to become a boxer. All I had to do was watch this twat's press conference for 2 minutes before I was like, oh, fuck, I wish Nate Robinson would have beat the shit out of him, which he didn't. I sure hope he fights Conor McGregor so that he can kick the shit out of him because somebody needs to kick this guy's ass. Listen to this, and you in this press conference, you can't really hear the questions being thrown at him because it's only his mic working for some reason. I have no idea why, but it doesn't really matter. He's explaining. You can kind of get an idea where they were going with the questions, but it makes me cringe hearing the answers that this guy says, and you'll be able to pick up on that as soon as Jake Paul starts talking.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I'm happy with my performance, but I could have done better. You know, I'm putting the work in, and I understand why people don't want to accept me yet, but I've had two flawless victories.
Uh-oh.
And I'm really dedicating my life to this. You know, uh-huh. I have a $8 million mansion in Calabasas uh-huh. that I haven't stayed at for 6 months. I haven't even been home because I've been in Las Vegas training.
That's a humble brag right there. That he's pointing out that he has an $8 million mansion in wherever, and that's how dedicated he is because he hasn't gone home to his $8 million mansion. Wow, you sure are a hard worker.
I haven't even been home because I've been in Las Vegas training in a little tiny house, 2 days, pouring my heart and soul into this.
Well, yeah, that's easy to do because you have an $8 million mansion. If you have an $8 million mansion, anybody can become a boxer if they put their mind to it, knowing full well that their life does not depend on it and they can focus fully on that. I don't think it's a big deal at all when someone who's infinitely wealthy decides as a hobby they want to spend all their time, money, and energy trying to become an expert at something. That's called training. The real work is the guy who fucking has to, he's like Cinderella Man working on the dock, James Braddock. Now that's a story. You being a rich son of a bitch deciding you want to be a boxer, who gives a shit about that?
So if people don't respect that, then I don't know what they're going to respect.
I don't respect that. Just because I don't respect that at all. Who gives a shit?
I don't know what they're going to respect. You know, it's an uphill battle for Jake Paul. It always has been.
Uses his name in third person. That's another reason why he's a douche. Yeah, it's an uphill battle for Jake Paul.
I've fought for everything in my whole entire life. People hate me. People talk shit about me.
Because of press conferences like this. I was all ready to say, hey, this guy's a real deal until I heard you when you opened your mouth. You sound like an asshole.
But I'm still here.
That laugh makes you an asshole.
Still here. I already have. For the past year. I've forfeited so many opportunities for this sport.
Listen to this.
Millions of dollars of opportunities. Content I could be posting, merch I could be selling, millions of views I could be getting, albums I could be dropping, movies I could be starring in, all because I want to box. And I wouldn't want to have it any other way.
What a douchebag. I don't know how people like people like this, frankly. And that's the first time I've ever heard this guy talk, ever. Whatever happened to, I love boxing, this is great, I'm blessed. Mike, he could learn how to do a press conference from Mike Tyson. It's incredible that of the three people we've heard from, Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., and Jake Paul, he's more, he doesn't sound like an idiot anymore, Jones does, and he's a hell of a lot more humble than both of them, especially Paul. They could both learn something from Mike Tyson about speaking into a microphone. Who knew that could happen? All right. More coming up. I cannot wait to get into Matt Patricia being out. This fat fuck. Oh, my God. Does this guy deserve it? And I had forgotten about how many people hated this guy. Holy shit. This is huge. Hey, don't forget about me on Cameo. If you want more information about how you can hire me for that, go to cameo.com/Eric Zane. I really enjoy doing them. They're a lot of fun. I believe it's $15.99 now. I priced it at $15, and the folks at Cameo said, oh, we're adding more. We're greedy bastards. I have no idea. I think they actually take a bigger percentage out nowadays. For a while, I noticed that when I would do a Cameo, they would collect, oh God, about $3.50 off every one of those. Now I think they take about 46% and they raise the price without asking. So that's fucked. But anyway, I still do them. Cameo.com/Eric Zane. They're a lot of fun and I enjoy it. Birthday, job, promotion, whatever it may be. You can see some of my work at cameo.com/Eric Zane. Okay, it's getting close to tax season, and I want you to think about reaching out to Tag Accounting, tagcpa.net. No matter where you are in the country, Tag Accounting can do your taxes for you, and you should have a professional do your taxes. Call at 616-301-9516 for Tag Accounting, tagcpa.net. Call right now if you've never been a customer and you got to, like, get started. You can't just, like, call and say, hey, can you do my taxes in 30 minutes from now? No. You got to. There's like a learning curve. You got to send some material into him, maybe for like from the previous years, so that he can get a baseline of your tax profile. That's how it works. More information at 616-301-9516. Please mention that you heard it from me on this show. Troy's one of these ones who's like, all right, I got to see the meter move. You got to get... You got to prove to me that your audience is listening to you. So listen, you can really help me out by having Troy do your taxes for you. He'll save you money. He'll get you more money in your return, and you will be so much more happy. And wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we were older? I was just listening to Pet Sounds earlier today. My God, I sound like I'm drunk right now. If you picture doing your taxes on your own, you know, you have like the whole weekend and that like sucks and everybody hates you in the household because you're all stressed out. Wouldn't it be nice if you just called upon Troy and he took care of everything for you and then all of a sudden the money shows up in your bank account from your return? It's that simple. Trust me, he won't let you down. TagCPA.net. Kent County Health Department still working hard to keep people safe during this miserably vicious time that we have going on right now with this pandemic. I'm telling you, light at the end of the tunnel. Moderna today making news. Henry Ford Hospital Systems, I believe December 12th, will start administering doses in and around Michigan. And then that's going to spread like wildfire. The good news, I heard today, Dr. Birx said, April, you and I will get this thing. Okay, hang on. Before long, all you hillbillies will be back at Jimmy's Roadhouse, okay, smashing each other over the head with beer bottles, maybe throwing a cue ball at a waitress or some shit like that or whatever you fucking rednecks do, all right? That's how it is. It's going to work. There's light at the end of the tunnel. If you do need more information in and around Kent County about where to go for testing, reach out to the Kent County Health Department at accesskent.com/health. I don't know why, but I think I'm really funny today. I keep laughing at my jokes. I'm picturing one of those rednecks picking up a cue ball and throwing it at a waitress. You should not do that, by the way. Do not throw pool cues, cue balls at waitresses ever, even at Jimmy's Roadhouse, where she'd probably catch it in her teeth and throw it back at you. Okay, this is when I knew Matt Patricia was a total cock.
Why do you think this movie makes your franchise better?
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions and you just kind of like, you know, give me this. But I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking to be a little respectful in this whole process. Okay. So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for you. Why do you feel like this makes
your franchise better? Okay.
All right. What?
So this fat fuck who can't even manage his own body is explaining to a reporter 2 years ago the importance of sitting up straight when he's talking to him. What the fuck was that? Oh, my God. If I was running the football team at that point, I would have said, yeah, you know what? You're an asshole. You either go and say you're sorry to everybody or you're fired. It's about damn time. And I knew he was an asshole then, and a lot of people thought that. But I had no idea that. But first of all, getting back to that. The fact that he was that bothered by it and would say it like that in that, like with cameras on him. I mean, of all the things, I mean, the guy in over 2.5 years, he managed to only win 13 football games. How horrible is that? And, you know, it just goes to show that this team is absolutely cursed. They've never really been able to do anything ever. And it's just a miracle at how frustrated it must be to be involved with this team in any way, shape, or form. My God, the examples of horrible coaching goes on and on, as this article now says. Current and former players rejoice over Matt Patricia getting fired. And I talked about this a little bit earlier. The idea that former players are publicly going to say terrible things about Matt Patricia show you just how hated this guy was. And wow, I didn't expect that, because, and then the idea would be that if you are a player, you might end up playing for him again or someone who likes him. But the nobody gave a shit. Nobody even cares. Even I saw this one. I was surprised at this. A current player named Kenny Golladay, who is their star receiver, when they announced the that he was fired and it showed up on Instagram, he liked the status of it, which says a lot. And then, according to this article from Yahoo Sports, the celebrations got more exuberant when you look at players who left Patricia and the Lions for whatever reason. That one would be Darius Slay, who he openly ripped Patricia after he was traded. And from what I'm understanding, the reason why that those guys, that why Darius Slay and Matt Patricia got into a war was, God, it was really weird. Apparently, Slay had posted a picture of him covering Odell Beckham Jr. from at some point in his career. I don't know what the significance of that was or what, but for some reason, Patricia made fun of him in front of people about that, which sounds like something I would do in this podcast, but not something that the coach, your coach, would do to other players. So, you know, I mean, as far as coaches go, probably the last group of people that you want to make hate you are your players. But he did a hell of a job doing that. Slay tweeted out, "I was the problem, though," with laughy emojis. Former Lion Stephen Tulloch, who you may recall as the guy who, after sacking Aaron Rodgers back in the day, did a maneuver on the field in his sack dance where he did the discount double check, which was the State Farm, because he's Rodgers is a pitch man for State Farm. Tulloch did the discount double check and ruptured both patella tendons. Oh, my God. Crazy moment that was. He wrote on the firing of Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, "The best news I've heard all year. The city of its of Detroit and its fans deserve so much better." My God. Let's see. A. Sean Robinson, who was a defensive lineman, wrote, "You get what you deserve." No, I take it back. Tulloch. I think Tulloch said that. And then A. Sean Robinson said, "Ha ha, you told me you'll take my career away from me, but I guess they had other plans for you." Ziggy Ansah weighed in. These are all former players except for Kenny Golladay. And Eric Ebron also made a comment who, when he played for the Lions, it seemed like all that guy did was fucking drop footballs. But article says Lions have a lot of pieces to pick up after the failure of the Quinn-Patricia regime. Likely won't be hard to find a leadership team players will like more. Yeah, man, they lowered the bar. The Lions stink and have stunk for a long, long time. The thing about the Lions is when you're that terrible, you really don't have your pick of the litter when it comes to hiring, you know, coaches. Basically, it's a gamble because everybody knows that if you ever wind up on the Lions, you're working for the Ford family. And there's some baggage that comes along with that. So they don't necessarily have a pedigree. So it doesn't look like, I mean, you would have to catch lightning in a bottle. And I don't know, maybe there's, maybe you go and get somebody that no one's heard of. I don't, I mean, I'm not, a, I don't know shit about this. But I for following this team for so long, nothing has seemed to work. It's remarkable how consistently they've been losers. And then the only time that they really weren't losers was when you had Jim Caldwell on there. Yet they fired him. Now, at the time, I was like, I don't know if I like Caldwell. But I do remember reading that, I mean, who cares what I think, that the players loved that guy. And considering the fact that he was 11-5 one year and then 7-9, but he finished that year when he was 7-9, he finished it at 6-1, and then he followed it up with two more winning seasons. My God, if you're Jim Caldwell, that is some real satisfaction there, knowing that they cut you loose because they said they could do better, and all they brought in was this fat asshole who did nothing but piss people off. So fuck you, Matt Patricia. Glad you're gone. You won't work again. There's no way that guy coaches another NFL football team. Hey, we won't be able to do it. At least I don't think so. I guess there might be a way to do the Ben and Eric Patreon bonus podcast. But when we do it, it will be for sure when I get back from the great kidney giveaway. But that's one of the reasons to sign up for my Patreon, okay? Of course, Eric and Ben, we're together again after so much time away, and we do a show once a week on Patreon, and I want you to be part of it. Now, I do let you hear a little bit of it with a little free view of it on the free podcast, but I want you to sign up for the full thing, okay? It's on my Patreon. It'll only set you back $5 or $10 a month, and I really work my ass off in that Patreon, and I hope you enjoy it. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. Okay. How about Irvine's Auto Repair and Grand Rapids Hybrid? Now, Megan is, of course, one of the she is the daughter of Eric and Jamie, who are the owners of the place. Jamie is 51% owner, and then her husband, Eric, is also an owner. But then there's Megan, who's like the hand of the queen and king. And this is a good thing, because let me explain this to you. Megan is so good at her job, and she is so detail-oriented, that in the Eric Zane Show podcast household, if Madison or No Filter Kevin need anything, you know who they're going to call? Megan from Irvine's Auto Repair Grand Rapids Hybrid. Not for the next 2 weeks. Not only is she running Irvine's Auto Repair Grand Rapids Hybrid, she's the hand of the king at the Eric Zane Show podcast household. I saw it with my own two eyes. Diana had a list of, all right, here's the food you eat. This is what you do. This is who you call. If you get in the weeds, call Megan. Okay? I mean, that's awesome. Thank you. And I want you to call on Irvine's if you need any help with your car. You need that thing repaired, even something as simple as an oil change. Tire rotation, doesn't matter. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid in West Michigan, 616-532-6600. Irvine's, Irvines.com is their website. Yes, you have someone you can trust when it comes to car repair in Grand Rapids. Don't just take my word for it. Look at those Google reviews. My gosh, that is an incredible run of success you guys have there. Well done. Call them at 616-532-6600. All right. One of my newest sponsors is Forever Lawn West Michigan. Okay. They install synthetic grass, either commercially or residentially. If you have a business or if you want it for your home, synthetic grass choices are increasing. Oh, my gosh. They have made so many amazing advancements in synthetic grass. Okay. New construction, building a business. Let's say you've got a dog kennel or you want a place for your dogs to roam or you want to install a putting green. The options are endless at Forever Lawn West Michigan. Their website, Forever Lawn, F-O-R-E-V-E-R, lawn, foreverlawn.com/WMI. You can, of course, find their logo on my website, ericzaneshow.com. It'll take you right to theirs. All the contact info is there, whatever you need, and all the different choices about the amazing creative things you can do landscaping-wise to your home or to your business with Forever Lawn, West Michigan. You can also call them directly, 616-258-6450. Remember them, Forever Lawn, West Michigan, 618-258-6450. Okay. This was, wow, let me just say this. I struggle when I kind of cringe, and I know that this is going to hit the mark in a positive way for some of you ladies, because I don't really look at women as, you know, inferior about anything. I mean, I would be lost without the women in my life. Seriously. I'm a disaster. I need the grounding effect, the wisdom, the calming, the emotional support. It's what makes me, me. I mean, that's why I get so cringe. I cringe so much when I hear people say, oh, wow, look at those girls. They're doing things that are just monumental, and they're breaking this barrier, and they're shattering this, and that is, yeah, well, no shit. Fucking, I've been seeing this for 50 years. I mean, I basically look at Diana and my mom and my mother-in-law, Sue, God rest her soul, God rest my mother's soul, and I was like, well, why does everybody act like this is a surprise? That's what I think is, it actually is insulting to me when I see people make a big deal about things that women do as like, oh my God. It's like, yeah, where the fuck you been? I mean, how the fuck can this be a surprise to you? You know, I mean, there's nothing that would surprise me. Now, if a woman walked up to me and if Diana came up to me and she took off her pants and she had a big fat dick, now that would be surprising. I would be surprised if Diana started hitting me in the face with her big dong. All right. Now that would surprise me. Yes. But I mean, there's really nothing. I don't get it. I don't understand why this is such a big deal. Sarah Fuller can kick a ball a mile for Vanderbilt soccer team. And so the whole team is sick with COVID. And so they don't have anybody who can kick. So they called on the chick with the biggest foot on the soccer team. And she can kick it like forever. When I was watching ladies soccer, watching my daughter in high school, oh my God, some of these kids, I couldn't believe the distance, how far the ball flies when they kick it. It's like, yeah, so what? They can kick the shit out of the ball. They work at it. What do you expect? Quit acting like it's a big deal. It's so what? It doesn't surprise me in any way. We got to stop making it such a huge big deal when women do things that of course they can do as good as the fucking boys. Wasn't there something astronaut wise that happened? They made a big deal because a lady did something, I don't know, took a dump on the space station. They're like, oh my God, this is so huge. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's, you know, what's a big deal is the fact that you dumb shits finally gave somebody a chance. That's a big deal. But, you know, as far as them actually doing it, the only thing that kept them from doing it was because you're too stupid to realize that she's as good as the boys. So fucking knock it off. You know, this needs to be less surprising to people. Okay. Does that make sense? I hope I'm making sense here. I mean, what the hell? So Sarah Fuller, she gets set to kick off, and it should be pointed out here. Vanderbilt at football sucks, and they would probably be better if they had more women on the team, frankly. They're shitty, and they're losing 21-0 or something like that. And they ended up receiving in the first half to start the game, so she didn't kick. And then, of course, they didn't score any points, so she doesn't even get an opportunity to kick. And then the second half starts, and Missouri's going to receive, so she has to kick off. And then it turns out that Vanderbilt doesn't score any more the whole fucking game. They lose 41-0. They're terrible. And so she got to kick once. And they made her kick one of those stupid little 25-yard kicks that kind of goes nowhere, and you kick it to the up guy, and then that's it. And it's like, oh, come on, man. So they made this big, big deal about it, and they didn't even let her kick it. And so this is how that sounded. So pay attention to this.
There is huge interest because we are about to witness history in college football. Vanderbilt Commodores coming back onto the field. They will kick off to start the second half, and Sarah Fuller will kick off for Vanderbilt to become the very first woman to compete in the Southeastern Conference in a football game and a Power 5 football game.
Now, let me just say this. When she's walking on the field, she's tall. She looks like she could really, really beat the shit out of somebody, too. And so I'm thinking this is going to be awesome because she's going to kick the hell out of the ball. And then I want her to run down and, like, spear some guy in the back or something like that, or hopefully a fumble. She jumps in there and actually grabs somebody's dick off and yanks it right there in the pile, winds up with the ball. I don't know, maybe an onside kick or something like that. That's exactly what should have happened. What do? They make her kick some stupid, safe, idiot kick. Kick the hell out of the ball, woman.
There she is, wearing number 32.
She should have said, fuck you, coach. I'm going to go kick the shit out of the ball.
Her soccer jersey number, and just 6 days ago, was winning an SEC soccer tournament championship in Orange Beach, Alabama.
I think she's a goalie, too.
And wouldn't you know it, history is on the field in Columbia, Missouri, as Sarah Fuller is about to put her right foot into a football, speaking volumes to women around the world.
That isn't doing anything. Speaking volumes to women around the world, as if there's some woman going, huh, I was thinking about becoming a doctor, but I know that's only boys can do that. Wait a minute, Sarah Fuller is about to kick off for this shitty football team. I think I can do it.
Awesome, awesome moment. You can hear the crowd. Everybody understands what's happening right now. This is a pretty cool moment.
All right, now at this point, she kicked it. It went like 15 feet.
And
she can kick it a mile. I don't know why they made her do that. They're like, coach, come on. Let me kick the shit out of this ball. The place is going to go nuts. Let me kick it.
Down at the 35-yard line, and Sarah Fuller. Happy Thanksgiving. What a day. What a day in college football. Her mom and dad on hand to witness it. Her boyfriend, her best friend.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's great. I do. I just wish that people would stop making such a big deal about things that women do as if it's changing the world. It should be the norm, okay? There should be regular women players on the football team.
I don't know about you, David. I got chills, man.
There should be women quarterbacks for guys. Hey, the freaking Denver Broncos needed a quarterback. They should have signed a woman.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty awesome to see. And what a moment.
Congratulations, Sarah Fuller. Hey, congratulations for Derek Mason for making this happen, right?
I don't know what the hell he did. All right, this is some real audio. This is actually how it sounded, maybe in an alternate universe.
As Sarah Fuller is about to put her right foot into a woman, speaking volumes to women around the world.
All right, that's just stupid. Some of the worst things on behavior, worst things in behavior, happened because of this. Okay. Let's see. There was a picture that was tweeted out of Sarah Fuller, and she had her football gear on, and that, all right, nice little publicity photo. I get that. I have no problem with that. The usual group of assholes, though, weighed in on the picture that was shown on SportsCenter. And shows her with a smile on her face. She did a great job. Fantastic. Again, I was disappointed they didn't let her kick the hell out of the ball like she could have. And then Vanderbilt doesn't do anything during the game. It's embarrassing. This person, Jamie Carpenter, wrote, as long as they don't change any rules because she is a girl, let her play. But don't let up if she muffs the kick and tries to grab it. LOL. Knock her cleats off. Will writes, laughy emoji, I can't quit laughing at this. I hope she made the team some cookies, too. Franco writes, I will pray for a botch snap and see what happens. Steve Allen says, any leaked nudes? Joe Masalco says, gang bang in the locker room, LMAO. Okay. Luke says, hope she gets tackled, LOL. Justin says, I hope she gets creamed. Patrick. My God, what an idiot. Patrick. Patrick says, I hope someone cleans her clock. Vincent says, hope she gets hit out there. It's going to be funny. And Rafi says, I hope she gets broke in half. Nice, guys. Thank you. Frickin' cavemen. Unbelievable. Holy cow. All right. So, yes, cool story. You know, it seems like we... Maybe this is a story we needed, I guess, for it to be a feel-good story. But I, you know, frankly, nothing should be like, oh, my God, we're making a big deal about this because it's a woman. You know, I just something about that. I don't think that since women, to me, are equal or, hell, in a lot of cases, better than most stuff than guys, shouldn't be a big deal. It's because they make it a big deal, I think. All right. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. I'd love to hear from you. If you do listen to the audio podcast, I'd love you to actually throw me a review, throw some stars at me. I'm not going to tell you how many stars. Throw some stars at me. I work pretty hard at it. And a review of the podcast. It helps. Please do that. Thank you very much. Say hello to my friends at Blue Frost IT, the managed IT service provider of the Eric St. Joe podcast. 616-200-8550. That is their number. Get a hold of them if you need anything at all concerning your IT, whether you're a small business that's existing or you're just getting started or you're doing a new upgrade. Blue Frost IT can help you with all of that. Info at bluefrostit.com is their email, and I want you to reach out to them if you need any help at all. Sign up for a monthly service contract. That's what they really help with, because then you have an IT department for your business. I do it. I signed up. My tech is taken care of. If I have a problem, they log in and fix it for me. And then you're not going to break the bank, okay? You work with them, and they don't even need insurance. They don't need a parking card. Blue Frost IT, thank you. And then, of course, Mario's in the house. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage, 231-332-6505. If you are thinking about a mortgage, it is a great time to do that. Really low interest rates, and everything is really going off at a great pace despite the pandemic. And he can really work for you, whether you've had a mortgage many, many times in the past or you're a first timer. The Mario and his crew will do an amazing job for you. If you're tired of paying money to a landlord and you want to get out from that, think about calling Mario and setting something up. 231-332-6505, anywhere in the United States for the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. I got an email from Pellerito concerning my pal Jeffrey, who is waiting patiently for his new kidney, okay? And I posted an interview with Jeffrey last week. And, you know, that was the first time you really heard his voice. And, by the way, Casey Jones did that piece, and he told me that I think they're going to air it on the evening news on Wood TV on Wednesday. I think he said 7 o'clock. I'll confirm that, and then I'll let you know so you can check that out Wednesday. But in airing that interview, you experienced Jeffrey's voice for the first time. And, you know, I've done an interview or an impression of Jeffrey. And I'm like, whenever I do it, I always kind of like, hey, man, you know, I mean, hey, man. Yeah, you know, hey, Eric. Hey, you know. And I felt like I've captured it. He says that I make him sound like the dude. But two things you have to know about the impression. It's based on a lot of the things he says. And one of the things he says is he says, you know, all the time. And I actually have heard him in the past say, hey, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, he says, you know, all the time, you know. So You don't have to listen to that interview for very long to realize, holy shit, Eric's absolutely right. He does say, you know, all the time. That's called a crutch. And he's got it. And nothing wrong with that. It's cool. I don't care. Doesn't bother me in any way. I just pick it up as, you know, just the way people talk. I say, you know, all the time. I don't say, you know, that much. But I do say, you know. Now, Pellerito is known for coming up with these quirky little stats. He's kind of a nerd about that, and he gets great joy out of passing it along to me. So he wrote this to me. Eric, as you prepare for the California trip, this was sent not long ago, please enjoy this episode of Pellerito Quirky Stats. Your call with Jeffrey lasted 56 minutes and 15 seconds. That breaks down to 3,375 seconds. During the call, the phrase, you know, was said a total of 252 times between both you and Jeffrey. So between Jeffrey and yours truly, you know, was said 252 times. Of those, Eric said it 15 times. The remaining 237 times were uttered by Jeffrey. So, Eric said it 5.95% of the time. Jeffrey was responsible for a whopping 94.05%. That is a rate 16 times more than Eric. Eric, on average, had 3.75 minutes in between usage of, you know. Jeffrey, on average, said it every 14 seconds. You know, oh, man, you know, hey. Please follow me for more Pellerito quirky stats in the future. That is all. As you were. Oh my gosh. I can only hope Jeffrey gets this far into today's podcast, you know, to be able to hear that. Oh, fuck. That's funny. Son of a gun. All right. On the Patreon bonus podcast, which will start momentarily after this one, as you make your way through your day, do you remember the so-called monolith in the Utah, southern Utah desert? You know, it's not even a monolith. Monolith means a single stone, by the way. Mono, one, lith, stone. Wasn't a monolith. The so-called monolith in the Utah desert, we have an update, okay? Also, another story I need to update. Do you remember how in the country of Denmark, they slaughtered all 17 million minks? Yes, there was a COVID outbreak because of the minks. So they killed them all. Now, this has had all sorts of ramifications. The guy in charge of this in the government, he ended up losing his job because they said this is a bad move. And he's like, why? We had to kill them all. And he goes, yeah, I know, but everybody hates you over it. So you got to step down, because a video surfaced of one of the minks. They killed it and it didn't quite die, so it was a horrible sequence, and this is all shitty. I mean, there is nothing good about COVID, and this is yet another horrible COVID story. Well, now this has taken yet another turn, because there is you would think that just killing all these minks and burying them in a mass grave on a military base, that would be the end of it. No, it's not. Something has happened. What could possibly have happened after you've buried the minks and 5 feet of dirt? What could possibly go wrong after you've taken 17 million minks and buried them? Well, I'll tell you on the Patreon bonus podcast. That'll be part of that, found at patreon.com/Eric Zane. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast for Monday, the 30th of November. I'll be back tomorrow. Live at 11 a.m. Michigan time, 8 a.m. here in California. And then afterwards, I'll post the audio wherever you download podcasts. Till next time, folks, thank you so much. Don't be a stranger. Email Eric at ericzaneshow.com. One day closer to being down a kidney for the rest of my life. Holy cow, but somebody's going to get one. That's the good news. Take care, folks. Thank you so much. Till next time. Bye-bye.